that's really our
So the plan tonight is to discuss the Mishnah and Avos, or a couple of Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos that talk about judging people favorably. The Mishnah says in Perek Aleph, have they done us kol ha'adam akavskos, to judge everyone or judge each person favorably. And there's another mission in the second paragraph that says, don't judge your friend until you've reached this place. So we're going to discuss judging others, you know, not judging someone until you walk a mile in his shoes. But before that, just a couple brief words of introduction. So first of all, we're in between Pesach and Shavuos. And Chazal say that this is a special time to be learning Pirkei Avos. There's a minog of Klal Yisrael to learn Pirkei Avos during the week, especially Shabbos afternoon. Chazal say that there's special time to learn Pirkei Avos. So I think there are, you know, tons of reasons, really tens and tens and tens of reasons, maybe even hundreds. But I think three, you know, basic fundamental reasons that we'll just share at the beginning, because I think over the next couple weeks, if we continue the Monday night share, I think we're going to do themes in Pirkei Avos. So first of all, one idea is that it says in Pirkei Avos also, Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah, that before we receive the Torah on Shavuos, as we, on our march, we're counting towards Shavuos, so we have to get the Derech Eretz part first. We have to get the Midos down. There's a well-known idea that there's no mitzvah in the Torah to have good Midos. So why should we spend so much time learning Avos, working on our Midos, if there's no mitzvah in the Torah? So Rav Chaim Vital, who is the primary Talmud of the Arizal, said that without Midos, you can't have the Torah. He said it's a prerequisite. If you want to learn Torah, if you want to really make Torah a part of your life, well, then you have to get the Midos down first. So without Midos, we can't receive the Torah. So as we go towards Matan Torah, we have to get the Midos down. That's one reason to learn Pirkei Avos before, or between Pesach and Shavuos. Another reason is to strengthen or enhance our Beidan HaMechavero. Many of the ideas or themes mentioned in Pirkei Avos are very much related to Beidan HaMechavero. And we know we received the Torah when we camped outside Har Sinai, we were Ki Ishechad Belev Echad. When we had that achdus, so when we strengthen our Beidan HaMechavero, hopefully that'll enhance or cultivate a sense of achdus amongst us and amongst Klal Yisrael at large, and that again will help us receive the Torah on Shavuos. And then lastly, Yemei Sfira, as we're in Sfira Sa'omer, so we know that the Talmidei Rabbi Kiva passed away in this time. Right? Chazal say, the Gemara says that they were lo nahog kavod zebes, that they didn't honor each other. Right? So in some regard, they must have lacked something in their Beidan HaMechavero. So hopefully, while we learn Pirkei Avos, that could help maybe rectify or be misaking their chait, or their, you know, the pitfall of not having the best midos or the midos that they should have had. So by us learning midos, hopefully that can help that out. Also, just we haven't done this in the shir here before, but I'm trying something new tonight, so feedback is welcome. But instead of typing up the sources, we made photocopies. Hopefully a little bit of a change up. So if we like it, great. If not, we can go back. So we're going to speak about judging people tonight. So I think there's an unbelievable story here in the book of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, a well-known book. I don't know, anyone read it? Anyone hear of it? It's in the I would say the genre of like the Dale Carnegie kind of books about how to win friends and influence people. So it's page one in the sources, and there's an arrow on the left-hand side of the page. I remember a mini paradigm shift I experienced one Sunday morning on a subway in New York. People were sitting quietly, some reading newspapers, some lost in thought, some resting with their eyes closed. It was a calm, peaceful scene. Then suddenly, a man and his children entered the subway car. Welcome. We're on the first page, but towards the arrow. Then suddenly, a man and his children entered the subway car. The children were so loud and rambunctious that instantly the whole climate changed. The man sat down next to me and closed his eyes, apparently oblivious to the situation. The children were yelling back and forth, throwing things, even grabbing people's papers. It was very disturbing, and yet the man sitting next to me did nothing. It was difficult not to feel irritated. I cannot believe that he could be so insensitive as to let his children run wild like that and do nothing about it, taking no responsibility at all. It was easy to see that everyone else on the subway felt irritated too. So finally, with what I felt was unusual patience and restraint, I turned to him and said, "Sir, your children are really disturbing a lot of people. I wonder if you couldn't control them a little more?" The man lifted his gaze as if to come to a consciousness of the situation for the first time and said softly, "Oh, you're right. I guess I should do something about it. We just came from the hospital where their mother died about an hour ago. I don't know what to think, and I guess they don't know how to handle it either." Right? In a second, the judgment that this guy made was flipped on its head. He continues here, "Can you imagine what I felt at that moment? My paradigm shifted. Suddenly I saw things differently. And because I saw differently, I thought differently, I felt differently, I behaved differently. My irritation vanished. I didn't have to worry about controlling my attitude or my behavior. My heart was filled with this man's pain. Feelings of sympathy and compassion flowed freely. Your wife just died? Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you tell me about it? What can I do to help? Everything changed in an instant. You know, often we see people and we just assume something like that right off the bat. We don't know much about this person, but we just assume everything. You know, I had this chus. Oren's not here tonight, so we can embarrass him a little bit, even though he might listen to the recording. So I played basketball with him last night. I don't know if anyone had... Ephraim also played, so I don't know if anyone else has had the schus of playing with Oren. He's very, very good. But as a basketball player and as a tennis player, you know, if you're competitive, the first thing you do when you step onto the court is you look at the other people and you size them up. Oh, okay, he's quick, but I think I'm stronger than him. You know, he's a good defender, but I think I have a good jump shot. You know, oh, he has a good jump shot. I bet I can shut him down on defense, right? He has a good backhand in tennis. My forehand's better than his, though. Right, we size people up. It's all about competition. That's what we do. We instantly judge people. So why is it so important to not make that first judgment? Or to not judge at all? The Mishnah says, have a done as kol ha'adam lekavskos. On page 2, the Chofetz Chaim and his Perish and Avos discusses this. So the Mishnah says on top of the page, on the right-hand side, it says, Yeshua ben Prachya ben Itai Har Beli Kiblu Mehem. Yeshua ben Prachya Omer Asei Lecha Rav Uknei Lecha Chaber Veveidan Es Kol HaAdam Lekav Schos. Right? The last thing, which is what we're going to focus on, says you should make for yourself a Rebbe, acquire a friend, and you should judge everyone favorably. Now, why is it so important to judge others favorably? So the Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful idea, and the Gra says something along these lines as well. So where the arrow is, Veveidan Es Kol HaAdam Lekav Schos. It's a little small, I apologize, but I wanted to try to fit it onto one page. He says, where it's underlined, by simply judging someone else, or even ourselves, we're able to create, or put the name of it, we're going to say that this guy is either a tzaddik or a rasha, based on our judgments of that person. How is that so? So the Chofetz Chaim explains, right? How are we judged? Well, it's you know, at least on a simple level, it's a scale. What weighs more, the mitzvos or the averos? Imrov mitzvos who together tzaddik. If there are more mitzvos, then he's a tzaddik. The imrov avonos who together rasha. And the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin, that they're right, there's three books open. They're Tzadikim Gemurim, and they're signed right away, L'chaye Olam. They're the Rasha'im Gemurim. And then there's the Beinonim who hang in the balance. Okay, now in the bottom paragraph here, something astounding. The Chofetz Chaim says that if Hashem was to judge us simply based on the Midas Hadin, or Midas, he calls it the Midas Hadin HaGemura, Lo Yishar B'yado Kol Echad, going on to the left-hand side of the page, Ma'at mizar ki kama v'kama mehen lo hishlim la'asos osam b'chol pratein v'ofnehem han'osa la'oso mitzvah. Right? We could think we're pretty good. We have lots of mitzvos in the bank, right? But if Hashem's going to judge us and he's going to be super meticulous because he's working or he's operating with the midas hadin, so what's going to happen? He's going to find every single problem with the mitzvos that we did. Right? Unbelievable thing. He says on the second line, v'afilu osan she'eshlimam kidin, even the mitzvos that we did properly, lo haya ba'ahava, maybe we didn't do them with a love or an excitement, ubiyira, ubisimcha, we weren't excited to do those mitzvahs, haray la'asiyas ha-mitzvah, right? So we may have daven in the morning, we may have learned a little bit after daven, we may have given tzedakah, but how did we do so? Was it reluctant? Was it begrudgingly? Were we not so excited about it? And that can take away from the mitzvah. So if Hashem's operating with midas hadin, so that's going to, you know, knock down our mitzvahs a couple pegs. However, aval im HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisnai imo b'midas harachamim, v'yichapesh olav z'chus b'chol inyanov. However, Hashem is operating with the midas harachamim. He's being merciful in his judgment. So what's going to happen? Yisharu z'chuyosav al-mechonam v'yosir mizeh. Shafilu im nimnu ma'asav v'nimseh sheish lo rov avonos. Even Hashem finds that a Jew has many, many more averos, many more sins then mitzvos. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu yisnagim over midas harachamim hagemur, if Hashem's operating with the midas harachamim, yisma'atu minyanam. Well, he's going to lower that number. Why? On the third to last line of that first paragraph, ki bevada yimotze kama vekama mehavona sheish lechapos alav she'asa osam bishgaga o besiba acheres. Hashem's going to say, oh, you know what? He had a lot going on that day. I understand if Shimon Esrei wasn't so good. Or, you know, things were tight on cash, or he had to do something else later that day where he needed money, so he didn't give that guy tzedakah in shul. Hashem's going to be able to rationalize or almost justify why our mitzvos weren't so great, or why we even did averos, amazingly. Umemela imis ma'it miksas avonosav, yachriya hakav zchus v'yikra alav shim tzadik la'olam. And by doing that, by judging us with the midas harachamim, so Hashem's going to end up putting us on the good side, the mitzvos are going to outweigh the averos, and we're going to have a shem tzaddik. We're going to be called a tzaddik. Now the question is, what makes Hashem judge one way or the other? What's going to decide whether or not Hashem's going to operate with midas adin, or whether he's going to judge us with midas harachamim? So the Chavetz Chaim says something unbelievable, where it's underlined on the left-hand side of the page. Hine kol ze toloi lafi ha-hanhaga shehinig es atzmo bimei chayav im habrios. The way Hashem is going to judge a person is completely dependent upon whether or not that person judged others either favorably or not favorably. Did we judge others with midas adin or midas harachamim? Im darko haya ladon oso lekav zchus, if we were quick to judge people favorably, donen oso gam kein lezchus. Ki the isa b'mesech ha-shabbos kuf chav zayin. The Gemara says there that again, the way we judge people is going to be midah keneged midah. Hashem's going to judge us that same exact way. Vim darko haya lelamir chova al habrios uledaber aleim ra. But if we're quick to judge them, you know, not so favorably, let's call it, and speak about them negatively, gam alav hamalach yesharis medabrim ra lemala, as it says in the Medrash and Mishlei. So too above, Hashem's not going to look at us favorably, and the Molochim are all going to talk about us negatively. They're going to tell Hashem, oh, look what this guy did. Hey, do you remember that? What about this? Remember when he did that? How can you forget about that, Hashem? And they're going to convince Hashem, or they're going to, maybe not convince, but maybe encourage Hashem to judge us negatively. Now, the Chavetz Chaim, not only did he say this, but he lived this. There's an unbelievable story I heard once, and the Chavetz Chaim was going around selling the Mishnah Berurah. He came out with, he didn't put them out, the whole set out on one shot, he put them out chilek by chilek. So he's putting out one of the chalakim, maybe it was, I think Gimel or Dal River was, I'm not exactly sure, but he's going around selling them. And some man came to him and said, oh, you know, Rebbe, I'd love to buy the new Sefer. So he said, okay. He said, how much is it? So the Chavetz Chaim said, it's 4 rubles. Or whatever, $4, let's say. So the guy said, I only have a 10. But take the 10, and you'll use the extra $6 for the yeshiva in Radin. You'll help out. You'll give it to as tzedakah to the yeshiva. And the Chavetz Chaim said, no, I can't do that. The guy said, why not? He says, that wasn't your initial intention. I don't want to take money from you if it wasn't what you really wanted to do. Which is an unbelievable thing. Amidas chasidus of the Chavetz Chaim in and of itself. So what the Chavetz Chaim said? He said, here, I'll go back to where I'm staying. And I have a little briefcase, whatever it was, where I keep, not a piggy bank, but you know, if we can call it like that, where he kept all the money from this trip of selling his farm. So he went, he got the little briefcase, and he went out to the guy, and he opened up the briefcase to take out the $6 change, and the guy grabbed the briefcase and ran. From the Chavetz Chaim, can you imagine the chutzpah, the gadol hador, and you're stealing his money? And the guy took off and ran. And people started chasing this guy, and the Chavetz Chaim told them all to stop. He said, don't run after him. And the guy's like, Rebbe, what are you talking about? Like, he's like, the guy probably has a daughter that he's trying to marry off and he doesn't have enough money. Just let him go. Unbelievable. You know, the Chavetz Chaim is trekking around Europe trying to sell his sefer. The guy steals all the money he just made. And he's like, oh, he probably has a daughter he needs to marry off. He needs the money for something. Don't chase after him. The unbelievable Dan the Kavskos of the Chavetz Chaim. Unreal. So what does it mean? How else can we explain this Mishnah? So the Sfas Emes on page number 3 takes a little bit of another step further. Again, if we're sensitive to the words of the Mishnah, the have a done at the top of the page there, have a done es kol ha'adam l'kavskos. It's not just have a done or down the kavskos, judge favorably. It says judge the whole entire person favorably. So what could that mean? And what could we learn from that? So he says where the arrow is, on the bottom of the page, Hevili lemeimar kol adam. V'nira de haperish de vaday hagam shebedavar prati eno osetov mikol makom es kol ha'adam b'chlal yish bo devarim umidos acherim shel zechus hamachriyazeh. Shamachriyazeh hadavar, excuse me. Says the Svasem, it didn't need to say kol ha'adam. Why don't we just say have a don ha'adam l'kav zechus? Why doesn't it be kol ha'adam? Well, how did you just view the guy? Right, you saw the guy in a vacuum. Maybe you saw him talking in shul. I don't know, whatever. You saw him eating a cheeseburger. I don't know, pick your favorite avera, you know? Or the avera you dream about doing, let's say it like that. Right? So, oh my gosh, this guy's eating a cheeseburger. I can't believe it. Right? But if we don es kol ha'adam, if we don't just view him in just look at it in a vacuum, but we see the bigger picture, well maybe, you know, he was dying of starvation. He needed to eat something, right? If we view the whole picture, we see someone eating, let's say, chametz on Pesach. A terrible thing. And we're quick to judge. I can't believe the guy is doing such an awful thing. But if we see the big picture, if we judge kol ha'adam, well then what do we realize? We're going to realize, as the Svasemik says on the last line, uperish kol adam lefi hamatzav b'chlal, to view his whole entire situation.
So at what point do we try to correct him and realize that he is making a mistake?
Oh, okay, good. So I think what it means is that it doesn't mean what he's doing is right. It means that there's a, let's say he has reason to be doing what he's doing. That doesn't mean what he's doing is correct, and I think, rebuke sounds kind of harsh, but to help guide him maybe on the proper path is a good thing to do, but we shouldn't just write the guy off and say he's a Rasha because he was doing something incorrectly. Maybe he wasn't brought up he didn't have a religious background growing up. Right, maybe, I don't know, something happened with a teacher or a Rebbe in school that made him a little bit more turned off to Yiddishkeit. But just because we see him doing one thing doesn't mean we should write him off. We have to see kol ha'adam, we have to see the big picture. Another idea that some explain based on this kol ha'adam, l'kav zechus, is that we have to look at this person in his entirety, or her entirety, and look for everything in that person. Not just the midos ra'os, or not just the bad thing that this person did, but we have to try to find all the good things as well. Right? If we're searching, if we're viewing this person, you know, in totality, we're going to recognize all his positive traits as well. And you know, okay, so he did one thing. Or, you know, my brother and I always joke that, I don't think he's going to listen to this year, so it's fine, but my brother chews loudly. So it was always a big deal at the dinner table growing up. I'd always like give him a look, or like, you know, like, come on, like, shut up, you know? And I would tell him, like, come on, why are you chewing so loud? We go back and forth. So, okay, chewing so loudly, it's annoying, but there's so many nice things my brother does, and there's so many things that I respect my brother for that it's not going to turn me off to my brother, you know, something like that. There's an unbelievable story I heard from Rabbi Cohn from Yeshurun. He said that there was a guy from Seattle who came all the way to Lakewood, New Jersey to learn in like the 50s, which was unheard of. So after learning in Lakewood for a bunch of years, he ended up going to Israel, which is also a huge chiddush. Not so many people were going to Israel at that time. And he went to Israel from Seattle to Lakewood, from Lakewood to Israel to make Aliyah and go learn in Israel was an unbelievable thing. And unfortunately, this guy was killed by a terrorist in the streets of Yerushalayim. So the Mashkiach in Lakewood always used to, on his Yurtzeit, mention him. So one of the guys in Yeshiva said, you know, Rebbe, it's a pretty amazing thing what this guy did, but why do you always mention him on his Yurtzeit? Why is he so great? So he sat the guy down and said, I have to tell you an unbelievable story. He said when this guy was in Israel learning, he had a diary that they found after he passed away. In the diary it said that the guy was in Yeshiva in Israel, and he said someone in Yeshiva wronged him. They got into a fight, and he felt that he was correct, and the other guy hurt his feelings. So he wrote down in his diary, for the next 30 days, I'm going to write down two positive traits about this guy. Two things that I can learn from this person. He was killed on day 28. Right? So there were 56 entries. And the last thing it said on day 28 was, I don't even remember why I was upset at the guy. He did one thing wrong. He wrote down 56 things that he can learn from that guy. And at the end, he didn't even remember why he was upset at the guy. Right? If we're done, it's kol ha'adam l'kav zechus. If we view the whole entire person, then we're not going to focus on the negatives. We're going to focus on the positives. And I really think that's really, I think, the nekuda the underlying message of these Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos that tell us to judge others favorably. Don't judge till you walk a mile in his shoes. Right? Because we don't know what the person's like. So A, don't judge him. And B, if you're going to look at someone, look at him in a positive light. As it says in the next on the next page, page 4, this is from the Maharal on Pirkei Avos. At the top of the page is Perek Bez Mishnah Tes. And the Mishnah says, Amar lehem, tzu'uru izahi derech tova shidabig ba'adam. Go out and see what's the best way a person should act. What's a good trait someone should cling to. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ayin tova. Right, so we're going to focus on that. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to have a good eye. What does that mean, a good eye? Right, we're playing baseball. Oh, good eye, you know? Keep your eye on the ball. It's not what we're talking about. If you jump down to the Maharal's Perish on Pirkei Avos, where it's bracketed off and underlined. V'amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, ayin tova. Have a good eye. That's a midah, that's a trait that someone should, yidabik baha, the person should cling to. Okay, why is that? Ki mi shiyish lo ayin tova, ki midah shegorim la'adam tov harbe. If a person has a good eye, it'll cause for him much, much good. She'in davar sheragil bo ha'adam kimozos. Because there's nothing, she'in davar sheragil bo ha'adam kimozos. Nothing's more, let's say, ragil, routine. What I think that means is we view everything through our eyes. Sometimes we don't hear things. Sometimes we won't smell a smell that other people smell. But we all see things. If it's in front of us, we can all see it. Right? Some explain, and I think in the footnotes, there's a separate parish on the Maharal by Rabbi Yeshua Hartman, and he explains, others explain it well, that out of all the five senses, sight is the most subjective. Right? Think about that. It's pretty cool. We can all hear things. We all smell things. We all have different taste buds, but that just means what we like and what we don't like. I think more or less everything tastes the same though. Right? Sight is totally subjective. Why is that? Because we view things in a different light. Right? And why is that? So I saw in another sefer that the idea behind that is that it's all based on the inside. Right? It's what we say in Kriyat Shema, Lo Sru Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Einechem. Why is the lev first? It should be the eyes, then the lev. We say, Lo Sru Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Einechem. Because often what we see depends on our lev. It depends on our ratzon. It's what we want to see. What I decide, what I think about this person, well, that's going to make me view that person in that way. That's going to make me think, oh, the person did this because X, Y, and Z. I know this guy. He probably did it because of that. Right? If our eyes, we perceive things based on how we want to perceive things. Right? The Maharal continues. Ki kol shav kol rega roa itzel b'nei adam osher gedola ushar ma'alos ve'ene tova bebrios. Right, if we have a good eye, if we have an eye tova, then everything that we see is going to be viewed in a more positive light. Hare midas zos yosir ragil bo mishar midos tovos. It's more ragil, it's more common, let's say, than all other midos tovos, because we're always looking, we always see things. Shelo yochal adam masos osa hamida tamid kamo shebal midas zos efsher lo lasis eno tova. Karef Ayin. More so than any other thing, we use our eyes. Every part that we're always using our eyes, we're always looking for things. If we're able to make our eyes a tool for seeing things in a positive light, that's going to completely change how we live our lives. And I saw this idea that you can ask if you read the Mishnah, right? Have they done us called the Makav Skos? So why does the Mishnah need to tell us that though? Right? It seems like very obvious. So there's a professor in YU. I don't know, maybe you had her, Mrs. Kasher Bennett for Ivrit. So there's a professor in YU whose grandfather was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Rav Moshe Shlomo Kasher. And he has a sefer, and he explains this Mishnah in Avos. And he says, in life, if you can explain something simply, so you shouldn't explain it in a more complex way. Right? If I had to scratch this ear, so it makes sense for me to scratch it like this, I shouldn't. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You just do simple things. So he says, so what's the Mishnah telling us? He says, I don't understand why the Mishnah needs to tell us that. It seems pretty obvious. So he says, it must be that it's not obvious. The Mishnah needs to tell us something. The Mishnah is being machadish something. And what is it? And I think it connects back to our initial mashal, right? The Mishnah tells us, have you done us called the Makav Skos? Because we don't. I know I don't. Definitely not as much as I should. When you view people, we often assume things. We jump to conclusions. Right? We don't view the person in his or her totality. We don't try to see the big picture. We don't try to see where that person's coming from. And he's saying that the Mishnah needs to tell us this because the Mishnah needs to teach us a lesson. Right? The Pasuk in Koheles tells us that it's better to go to a base Avel than a base Mishnah. It's better to go to a Shiva house than a party, let's say. So why is that? So I heard explained that connecting back to what we said at the beginning, because when you walk into a party, when you walk in with all sorts of people, you're always looking, what kind of suit's that guy wearing? You know? What kind of shoes does he have? What kind of dress is she wearing? What kind of high heels? You know, everyone's looking at each other. Everyone's trying to keep up with the Joneses, not just keep up, but outdo the other person. But when you go to a Shiva house, what happens? Everyone lets their guard down. What do? We tell stories about the Nifter, the Niftaris. What an impact that person made on my life. Unbelievable stories, inspirational stories, how that person helped someone here, or he did a chesed that no one knew about. He was constantly doing things for the community, but never taking any credit for it. It's better, the Pasuk tells us, it's better to go to a base level than a base Mishnah to learn that reason, that it's not about one-upping each other. It's not about trying to be better than others. We're supposed to let our guards down. We're supposed to appreciate everyone around us. And why is it better to go to a base Avel than a base Mishteh? Because maybe the idea is that we're supposed to learn that before, you know, we end up at Shiva houses. That we should live our lives in that kind of way, that we're always pointing out the good in other people. Oh, this guy, he did an unbelievable chesed. Why do we have to wait until we're paying a Shiva call for that person? Right? Maybe even at a party, we're like, wow, I love your suit. Or, hey, where'd you get that tie? It looks great. I really, really love it, right? Are we pointing out the positives in people? Because again, I think this is the underlying nekuda from these Mishnayos. Are we looking with an ayin tova? Are we looking positively at other people? Or are we looking more negatively? Are we trying to maybe have a competition or worrying about what other people are going to think? So I think just to close, in the next couple of minutes that we have, we'll jump to page 6.
Do we conclude why we say specifically it says es kol ha'adam?
So I think there are a couple ideas. Either the kol, you have to see the whole person with his whole entire background, as the Sfasim has said, b'matzav b'chlal. Or
so it doesn't mean every person, it means this person as a whole?
Right, I think it means every single person that we interact with, right? If we're going to judge someone, so you have to judge that whole entire person. Mm-hmm. A, you have to view his background, and also, as we explained, you have to look for the positives in that person too. You can't just look at the negative thing that this person did. Look at all the good things that that person did as well.
Okay.
So if we're going to jump to the... We're going to skip the page that has the Baal Shem Tov on top. We're going to go... Now, I don't know, anyone here of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov? Mm-hmm. Heard the songs, you know? So, exactly. So this is one of the most famous pieces in his Sfarim. Okay, it's titled Reish Pei Beis. That's the number in his Sefer. It's talking about being positive and always looking in the good. There's even a band in Israel that's called Reish Pei Beis. One of the guys in the kol just told me that. So what's he say? Where the arrow is. He says, Duck, yitzarech ladon es kol ha'adam l'kavzchus. We always have to judge people favorably. Va'afil imishu rasha gamor, tzarech l'chapes v'limso bo eze ma'at tov. And even if the guy's a rasha gamor, right, you have to search and you have to find for him, in him, the little bits of good. Shibaoso hamaat ino rasha, because in that thing that this person does, he's not a rasha. What's the quote? Each man's like my superior in one way. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't heard that.
Well, I guess it doesn't sound so good anymore. But the quote goes something along the lines of like, every man's my superior in one way, and in that way, I'm going to learn from him.
I haven't heard that.
No. We'll attribute it to me then. No, I'm kidding. But
I made up a famous quote,
exactly. Vayidezet, continuing on the top left-hand side of the page, Vayidezet, Shemotzi bo ma'at tov, v'dano so l'kavzchus, when we bring out, when we find the good in that person, in that Rosh HaGomor, as we said, and we judge him favorably, Vayidezet, ma'ale oso be'emes l'kavzchus, we can raise him up literally to the side, to the good side, v'yochel ha'shivo b'tshuva, and then that person can do tshuva. When we judge people favorably, and we say, hey, you're a great guy, and even though the guy may not have been doing the best things in the world, and you put your arm around him and say, hey, you know, you befriend him, and you don't focus on the bad, you focus on the positives, so that can be really inspiring to a person. Especially if a person's been down in the dumps, and hasn't been doing so well, and may not have the best chevra, when we put our arms around him, or when we shmooze him, we invite him over for a Shabbos meal, whatever the case may be, so that can really uplift someone. And he says this is what the pasuk is referring to in Tehillim. Ve'od ma'at ve'in rasha v'isbonanten al makomo ve'inenu. He's going to explain what this means. There's a ve'od ma'at ve'in rasha. There's a little bit where he's not a rasha. Hainu. On the third line, shapasuk masir ladon oso hakol lekavskos. The pasuk is telling us to judge everybody favorably. V'afal pisha taro shu rasha gamor. Even though right now he might be a rasha gamor, afal pichin tzarich atal lechapis ulevakish limso bo ma'at tov. Shisham inu rasha. V'zeu od ma'at ve'in rasha. That little bit that the person's not a rasha, the little bit of good that person does, focus on that. Accentuate it. Shitzarich atal levakish bo od ma'at tov shiyesh bo adayin shisham inu rasha. Because in that area, in that respect, the person's not a rasha. He's doing good things. Ki af al pi shehu rasha, even though he might seem like a rasha overall, ich efsher she'in bo ma'at tov adayin. There's no such thing as a person who's completely a rasha through and through. Everyone has at least some good in them. Ki ich efsher shelo haya iza mitzvah dover tov miyamav, v'yidei zeh shata motzi bo od ma'at tov shesham inu rasha, through accentuating that positive thing that a person does, through telling him, wow, that mitzvah you just did is unbelievable, it's so impressive, it's so inspiring, that can really lift up a person and cause him to do tshuva. Now Rabbi Nachman takes this a step further. We'll skip a little bit and go to the beginning of the next paragraph. He says, v'chein tzarich adam limtso gam ba'atzmo. We have to do this for ourselves. We have to judge ourselves favorably. Which is an unbelievable thing. And when we think about the Mishnah, we automatically assume it's like, oh, when we view that guy in the street or we're sitting next to that guy in the airplane and he's being annoying or doing something that, you know, we're not so into, so judge him favorably. But Rabbi Nachman has a new spin on it. He says we also have to judge ourselves favorably. Right? Where I think we're, at least I know for myself for sure, I'm harshest on myself. And I heard an unbelievable piece of advice. When we're caught in a pickle, we're going through something that's a little bit tough. Right? Often when our friends come to us, or someone calls us up with a problem, we're usually pretty good at giving advice. But when it comes to ourselves, we're much harsher on ourselves. You know, it's almost like if your friend calls you, I'm really having trouble waking up for minyan. You know, I oversleep my alarm. Like, you tell him, like, it's okay, don't worry. Maybe set a few. Maybe try to go to a later minyan. Don't set the bar so high and go to the 6 o'clock minyan. Go to a 7:30 minyan or something like that, right? But when we oversleep our alarm, what's the first thing we say? I don't know, for me, it's, oh, I'm such an idiot. I'm so dumb, right? It's the first thing I say. Would I ever say that to my friend? If my friend called me, hey, Mary Simple, like, I'm having trouble getting up for minyan. I overslept my alarm this morning. So dumb. Like, no chance. That wouldn't be the first thing I'd say. Not at all. It's okay. It happens to all of us. Don't worry. But we're often harshest on ourselves. So Rabbi Nachman is telling us, "V'chein tzarich adam limtso gam ba'atzmo, ki zeh yedua shetzarich adam lizar me'od lios b'simcha tamid, u'leharchik ha'atzos me'od me'od." Rabbi Nachman says, we have to be b'simcha. You have to serve Hashem with excitement, with passion, and a happy, happy demeanor. U'leharchik ha'atzos me'od me'od, and to get rid of any kind of sadness, anything that's discouraging us or causing us despair in avodas Hashem, get rid of it. V'afilu kishemasil yistakel ba'atzmo v'ro she'in bo shum tov. And if a person looks in the mirror and says, wow, I'm a terrible guy, I'm a Rasha, and I'm filled with averos, and you want to just fall into a dark abyss and cry, it's usher, it's forbidden to fall into that kind of situation. Just like you would for your friend, you have to search in yourselves, we have to search in ourselves for the positive things, for the little bit of good. You for sure did something good the past couple days. Going on to page 7 now. Hadavar hatov hu roshu gamkin mole pitzam ve'inbo mitom. Hainu shorosh gam mitzvah hadavar shebekdushas zachalasos hu gamkin mole pinios machshavos zaros. So you might think, oh well, yeah, I davened shacharis this morning, but it was a terrible shacharis. I didn't pay any attention to it. No, that's not the focus. The focus is to focus on the positives. It's about 5 lines down. Al kopanim hayeizin nekuda tova b'hamitzvah b'hadavar tov she'asa ki tzarech adam lechapish levakish limso ba'atzmo iza me'at tov. We have to constantly search within ourselves for the little bit of good. Kedei lahachayos es atzmo, to revitalize ourselves, to give ourselves lives, to give ourselves chiyus. V'lavo lidei simcha, and that's going to bring us towards simcha. V'yidei zeh she'mechapish u'motzei ba'atzmo adayin me'at tov. And how do we do that? By searching for the little bit of good. And again, once we search for the good, We're going to see that. Yeah, I could do it. Or you wake up for a minion one day. Okay, great. I was a bad day the rest of the day. Focus on the good. Right? If we're always positive, if we're looking at the good, so that's going to just lead to a more positive mindset, a more positive perspective on life. And again, that's, I think, the underlying nikud, to have that ayin tova. The ayin tova is the most rugged. We use it more than any other part of our body. We're always looking. It's all about how we want to perceive things. If our lathe is programmed to only be thinking positively, to only be looking for the good of others, so that's going to change the quality of our lives. We're only going to want to be positive, we're only going to want to be happy, we're only going to be thinking about doing good and looking for good in others. I think that's the underlying idea from these Mishnayos. So you don't know what that guy's like, you've never been in his situation before, so how can you say, I can't believe that guy did that? Take a step back and have a little bit more perspective. You know, if I was in this situation, would I really not fall prey to that Yitzhar Hara that he had? I don't know that. I can't say for sure, so I'm not going to judge him. And the Avedonis called him a Kav Schos. Not only am I not going to judge him negatively, but I'm going to look at him in totality and realize there's so much good that this guy has, and there's so many things I can learn from this guy. I think that's the underlying message. And I really think, to just tie back all the way to the beginning about the introduction we had, right? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish as a whole with learning Pirkei Avos during this time, during Pesach, between the times of Sfiras Omer, between Pesach and Shavuos? We're trying to enhance our Beinam L'Chavero. Well, who likes hanging out with negative people? Right? If the guy's always pointing out flaws and always pointing out negatives, that's not someone we want to associate ourselves with. We don't want to hang out with that kind of person. So if it's true for other people, it has to be true for ourselves also. We have to make sure that we're positive people as well. Are we pointing out the positive in other people? Right? Is that going to cultivate a community, a tzibur, when we're all together, when we have achdus? Because that's what it's all about. And that's also the kavod. Right? How do we talk to each other? The kavod that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were noheg to each other. They were low kavod, low... I'm forgetting the words now. They were... I'm forgetting, I'm blanking on it. But they weren't noheg kavod zebezeh. Right? They didn't honor each other. So what does that mean? They were chavrusas. There were 12,000 chavrusas. So they sat together every single day and learned with each other. But what does that mean? So some explain, well, when one guy thought of a nice idea, he had a nice Dvar Torah, he understood a pshat in a pasuk or in a rashi, so his friends are like, no, that's not a good one. Is that a way to... So someone just came up with a Dvar Torah. Well, that's really nice. That's beautiful. Shkai, you should share with more people. Right? How do we act? How do we interact with everyone else? And even if we're not literally interacting with people, right, we're not speaking to that guy, but we might view someone. We might see someone do something. And how are we going to view that action? It always has to be the positive way. I think the more positivity we have, the better it is for ourselves and for everyone around us. And hopefully through positivity, we're going to continue marching towards Matan Torah. We'll be Makabel the Torah b'simcha uvetuv levav, right? We'll enjoy the Torah again, because everything we're doing is just filtered through this lens of positivity. Okay. Shalach, everyone, for coming tonight.
Thank you, guys.